Not much preached, and I'll probably tell you why tonight as we go along. The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hizkiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. I'll utterly consume all things off the land, saith the Lord. That's probably the reason that Zephaniah is not much preached. He's negative all the way through till you get to the last chapter in the ninth verse. There's 12 verses there that's filled with promise, but all the rest of the book of Zephaniah is filled with judgment. Amen. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven. I thought, as the snow blanketed the earth, and then it fell again, and it covered all the birds' food, about all the animals' food. And if this goes on much longer, about all the quails that recuperated in Ohio will be dead. About all the pheasants will be dead. Many of the songbirds that stayed here will be dead unless people, of course, a lot of people do feed them in their backyard, but a lot of them won't be able to get to the feeder in rural areas. There won't be enough feeders out to feed them all. So a lot of animals will die because their food supply is covered up. And it's been that way for a good while now. And that blizzard of 77 and 78, we lost all the quails about it in Ohio that year, all the wild pheasants, all of the partridges, and just about all of the wild flying game about all died, had to just now getting them restarted pretty good. Just now getting to where some of the guys can go hunting. I used to hunt quite a bit. Had some bird dogs and so forth. Amen. I think some things like this is judgment to try to help wake people up. Amen. Amen. Chastening rod of God. So I'll consume man and beast. I'll consume the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks. Amen. That's false religion. Stumbling blocks are. Amen. With the wicked, I'll cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all inhabitants of Jerusalem. I'll cut off the remnant of Baal from this place and the name of the Shemarim with the priests. Amen. Shemarims are the black robe priests. They're the ones that attended the fires, and they wore black because black didn't show soot, smoke, and ashes like other colors would. So they were the black robed. Amen. You know, there's some folks today, they won't be satisfied until we're all wearing black. Amen. I'll tell you something. Sackcloth's going to come into style after a while. Amen. After God's judgments are so extensive in the earth. Amen. Last two preachers that's going to preach during the great tribulation are going to be clothed in sackcloth for 3.5 years. Sackcloth's going to come into style again for preachers. Amen. They'll wear the garments of mourning as they prophesy for 3.5 years in the environs of Jerusalem. Amen. Right under the nose of the Antichrist. Too hot to handle. Amen. I mean, you talk about when Enoch and Elijah comes back on the scene. God has saved them for that hour. Amen. God needed some special men for a special time, and so he caught Enoch out and saved him. Amen. Later on, he sent a whirlwind, the chariot far out after Elijah, and he's gone. Saved him. Saved him for a time when he runs out of preachers with holy boldness. Runs out of preachers that's able to face kings and potentates and rulers and prophesy, thus saith the Lord. Amen. And God's going to send them back. Amen. Those little Jewish boys came storming down into the tomb of David down Mount Zion, and they began to lay their hands on the coffin of David and pray into the top of their voice for the return of David. Amen. He's coming back. Praise God. The Bible promises that. Amen. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Many times it promises that. Their prayer is going to be answered. Every Passover, the Jews set an empty plate at the end of every table. And that empty plate, fully set, fully served with the bread, wine, the bitter herbs. Amen. Passover food is for the prophet Elijah. And he's coming. Elijah's coming. Praise God. But before that, the church is leaving. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Our career will soon be over. And theirs will restart. Sweet Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Zephaniah preaching. Amen. And them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops. And them that worship and swear by the Lord, and then turn right around and swear by Malcham. Double-barreled religion, if you please. Serving God on the one hand and the idols on the other. Amen. And then them that are turned back from the Lord. And those that have not sought the Lord, now required for him. Amen. I checked it out in the Living Bible. Everybody that knows anything about anything, you know, knows that Dr. Kenneth Taylor's Living Bible, even though it's pretty good preaching for a Baptist, amen, is once in grace, once always in grace, pro. Amen. Here he takes this clean-cut example of backsliding, them that turn back from the Lord, and he boils it down into a short statement. They never served God and never wanted to. Hey, amen. Oh, but you can't screen it all out. You might use some double talk and get rid of some of the plain statements in the Word of God by misinterpreting or interpolating into the text your own ideas, as Dr. Taylor and many others that have Bibles, annotated Bibles out. Amen. I was reading in the Jehovah Witness Bible. I found one down at the thrift store and bought it, and so I check them out too, you know. Jehovah's Witness, they believe the doctrine of the Trinity is a concoction of the last few hundred years of the church. Amen. That it is not an Old Testament doctrine. Amen. But I thought I'd just check it out in their own Bible. Amen. You know, in the first chapter of Genesis, it says, "Let us make man in our own image." That's a clear cut. Several times it states that. Amen. Let us, our and us. Uses the plural terms, our and us. And you know, in the Jehovah Witness Watchtower Bible, they couldn't get around it. They had to say it too. Let us make man in our own. That's the Trinity, folks, in the Old Testament. They hang their doctrine on the Old Testament. Amen. And the very first two chapters of Genesis, praise God, present us with a Trinity. Amen. Let us make man in our own image. Praise God. But listen to the sixth verse again. And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for Him. Amen. That "and" makes a difference in the two groups. Amen. It don't lump them all together. The "and" is a conjunction. Amen. It's an addition word, if you will. Amen. I'd like to preach for a little while about them that are turned back from the Lord. Here's my title: Going, Going, Gone. Amen. There are some Baptists that will admit that you can backslide. I heard one of them preaching a few years ago over the radio, Hebrews chapter 6, and he admitted that you could backslide. But using Hebrews chapter 6, he said, if you do, you can never, never get back to God. That's going to the other extreme. Amen. But here is Zephaniah the prophet. I want you to know, as long as the prophets are screaming, as long as the prophets are crying out, as long as the servants of God are rebuking, as long as the servants of God are beckoning and calling and crying, repent, you backslid, repent, there's still hope. Praise God. Raise your hands and praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Yes, there are phases of backsliding. There are degrees of backsliding. And you can go too far and stay too long. Praise God. And so he cries out against those. Here is one of the clear-cut examples of God's judgments upon the backslider. Amen. I'll consume man and beast. I'll stretch out my hand. I'll cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. And the name of Shimrim, the priest, them that worship the host of heaven on the housetop, them that worship and swear by the Lord, that swear by Malcham. Amen. And them that are turned back from the Lord, they're going to be judged also. Amen. We're living in a day of backsliding. Amen. 22nd chapter of Numbers tells us, or begins the pitiful story of the prophet Balaam. Balaam heard from God. Balaam heard the supernatural voice. Some don't give him much credit, but some of the great prophecies in the Old Testament was made by Balaam. Amen. It was Balaam that said, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. But do you know, when he prophesied that great prophecy, he was going. Amen. When Balaam went against the word of God and went to Balak, amen, to try to get something from God against Israel, he was going the wrong way. He was already going. Amen. He was going when God said, go ahead. And he saddled his ass and headed out. Amen. Down the road. And God saw his heart. God saw his desire. God saw that his mind was starting to be inclined the wrong direction. Amen. And the angel stood in the middle of the road. Amen. And the donkey saw him, but Balaam couldn't see. Amen. Balaam was going, but finally, amen, he goes. Finally, he goes to the top of the mountain. Finally, he offers sacrifices. Several of them on various altars. It was Balaam when he was offering one of those sacrifices that said, there shall come a star out of Jesse. Praise God. Hallelujah. He prophesied under the anointing power of God. But while he was preaching, he was going. All the time, he was going with the wrong crowd. Amen. You may claim to know God, but if you're running with the wrong bunch, Amen. You may be going. Amen. Look at Samson. When Samson headed down toward the Philistines and courted that first Philistine girl and married her, he was going. Amen. When he wound up in the lap of Delilah, he was going and almost gone. Amen. But the Bible says, howbeit, grinding at the mill like an animal, howbeit, his hair began to grow out again. He had lost the power of God, lost the anointing of God, lost his ability to deliver his people. Amen. Almost 20 years he had judged Israel, praise God. Amen. And we read the high places in Samson's life, but they are darkened by those lows. Amen. Also, oh God, what a contradiction Samson was. What a contradiction, amen, Balaam was. A prophet of God prophesying against God's people. And against, trying to anyway. But he was honest enough to tell Balak that God don't have anything but good to say about Jacob. God don't have anything good to say but good to say about Israel. Amen. But Balaam, if he'd just left it that, went on back home and stayed there, prayed through real good, realized he made a mistake. Amen. But here he is. He winds up as their chief seer, their chief astrologer. Moves in with them. And just two or three chapters later, he's destroyed with the Midianites. Amen. Balaam the prophet is gone. He was going. He was going. Amen. While he was going the wrong direction, he could have turned around. As long as the prophets are crying, as long as there's life in your body, it may be that you can repent. Praise God. Yes. Where there's vision, there's hope. The prophecy, the prophet's vision brings hope. The Bible said, where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there's no prophet to prophesy, there's no man of God to warn. There's no man of God to call men to repentance. Amen. That's why Elijah's coming back, according to Malachi. He's coming back to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the children to the father, praise God. Amen. Bring about repentance, national repentance in Israel. Hallelujah. Look at it. All the negativity from Isaiah right on down to Malachi. All the judgments they predict. All the horrible things they tell about. All the terrible destructions they prophesy and foretell. Amen. Did you know that nobody that heard them preach need to be a part of that judgment and that destruction? Amen. Did you know, praise God, that the Bible said that every man would be for himself? Amen. That every man would be able to save his own self if he would? He said though Moses and Samuel stood before me, I would not hear them for this people. Amen. They'd save their own souls. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were here, amen, I wouldn't hear them. They'd save their own souls. Amen. If there be a Noah, there be a Daniel or a Samuel or a Job, amen, they can save their own souls. Amen. We don't have to be caught in the judgments of God. Amen. This whole country saw just a short picture of judgment as the whole nation was, amen, ground to a standstill. Washington, D.C. stopped dead in its tracks. New York stopped dead in its tracks. The stock exchange, amen, stopped dead in its tracks. Amen. Amtrak, airports, amen. A whole eastern United States of America, from the Mississippi to Maine, was stopped dead in its tracks. Amen. By the lowly snowflake. Amen. I saw a heading on I think it was a Newsweek magazine somewhere today. Amen. I didn't buy the magazine, but I just glanced at the heading. Amen. How that there's a fad for gambling today. Almost every state is passing a law to allow riverboat gambling. You know, Ohio is one state, the United States, that hasn't never passed it yet, and praise God for Ohio for that. Amen. Indiana just passed it, and they're getting ready to build one of them boats at Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Already got one on down the river. Amen. And people are being swept away by the get-rich-quick urge. Something for nothing. Amen. Big, huge floods 2 years in a row. Amen. Have ravaged the Mississippi and the Missouri River valleys. They've got riverboat gambling out there. Amen. And now, if the big snows melt too fast and we get rain on top of it, we're going to have massive flooding. It be the judgments of God are coming on the rivers where they've allowed those one-armed bandits to rob the poor and take money out of the mouths of little kids and divide homes and destroy lives and vile, ungodly stuff. Going on, licensed by the state, right on their own nose. Amen. Almost every state in the union has a lottery, if you please. And everybody's getting involved with gambling. Amen. And everywhere, judgment's coming. Amen. And here's a verse that lets us know that it's going to come on those that backslide. And them that turn back from the Lord, the judgment's coming on them. Praise God. That's Old Testament, you say, Brother Collins. Amen. You think God's any respecter of persons? You think He's changed His mind about judging backsliders from the Old to the New Testament? Amen. You can't never say God's a respecter of persons. He treats all the same in both Testaments. Praise God. When it comes to His own judgments upon them, praise God. When people turn back from God, He judged them in the Old Testament. Much of this is still future as far as that goes. Amen. And when people turn back on God, He will judge them in the new dispensation also. Amen. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice and has bid His guests. Amen. That day hasn't quite come yet, but it's about to start. Amen. It's about to happen. My God. But you don't have to be in on the judgments of the day of the Lord. You can be in on the hope, the blessed hope of the church. Praise God. He said, amen, pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 said, they shall not escape. There's a group that's not going to escape. In the 4th chapter, He said, we're not in darkness that day should come on us unawares. Amen. We're in the light. We're the children of light. Praise God. But the 5th chapter says, it shall come upon all the earth as a snare, and they shall not escape. It's going to catch up with them. Amen. And it's going to catch up with a backslidden church. that talks about the rapture out of one side of their mouth and then live another kind of way on the other hand. Amen. That's the kind of folks that Zephaniah preached to. Them that worship and swear by the Lord, and then they swear by Malcham. Amen. They try to get the most out of both religions. They try to, amen, be tolerant, they say. Don't be so narrow, they say. Don't be so radical. There's good people in all churches. Amen. There may be, but God's going to have to take them out to save them. Amen. I said God's going to have to take them out to save them from the judgment. Hey, come out from among them, the Bible said, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Praise God. If God's judgments came on them in the Old Testament, will he judge them in the New Testament and in the church age with equal judgment? I think he'll even judge them with greater judgment. How much sorer punishment shall they be thought to be worthy who have trodden the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood of the covenant underfoot and counted the blood that they were sanctified with an unholy thing. Amen. Praise God. The prophet's warnings, however, spell hope. As long as a prophet's crying, they're still going. And their cry of judgment is a chance to repent. And tonight, mine and every preacher that cries out against the evils of the day, God, what is it? Amen. What is it, us radical preachers that they call fanatic? And amen, somebody said, down there at the highway, OSLL said, he preaches against everything. What is it that God's trying to do? He's trying to call people back to repentance. Amen. He's trying to turn them around. Isaiah said, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? Amen. Glory to God. If you will, return and come. That's what God wants us to do, is to return before the dark night comes. Return and come to God before the judgment comes, before it gets too late, before it's too late and finally at last. It can be said, they're gone. Let them alone. It's as final as death. How many of you have known that time when the doctor comes, calls the family together, like he did the Richardson family just a few years ago? We was down there with them in Christ Hospital when Jimmy was having an open heart surgery. He came out and gathered the family together. I was there. Sister Collins was there. Sister Richardson was there. He said, we tried this and that, something else. The doctor's last words were, I'm afraid he's gone. Amen. He's gone. Sister Ritson wept and cried, and Brother Ritson, and they wanted to see him. And so they got him ready, and we went down with them as those dear old people wept over their son. Amen. But he was gone. Gone. Amen. Oh, the finality of those words. Oh, the finality. The utter hopelessness of those words. When at last it can be said, they're not going anymore. They're gone. Amen. Don't join that long, long line tonight. Don't even walk in that direction. Don't look that way. Don't even think about it. If you do, if the devil puts in your mind, repent quickly. Because the first step of that long journey if you'll never take it. You'll never find your epitaph on some memorial on the mind of somebody someplace. They're gone. It's too late. Your prayers won't do any good now, preacher. Prophet, your prophecies won't do any good. I know it. That's why we preach while we live. We preach while others live. Amen. Because when life is gone, it's too late to preach then. It's too late to pray then. Now is the time we pray. Now is the time we warn. Now is the time we urge. Now is the time. Amen. We cajole men. Encourage men. Compel men to come. Stand with me tonight. Father God, before our nation is gone, help us to pray. Before our people are gone, and some more of us backslide, and some more of our preachers go down the drain, God, help us to pray, to repent. I pray in Jesus' name. Return. Return. That's repentance. When you turn around, change direction. Look God's way and go God's way. That's repentance. Come on tonight, Father. Bless these broken remarks. Bless our broken message. Carry some word on the wings of the Holy Ghost here and through this ministry. Yonder out throughout the world. Save somebody. Bring somebody back. Ere it's everlastingly too late. Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. While we live is the time to pray. While life is coursing through our veins is the time to seek God. Come on. Cry out to Him.
In my life, I've got to make it.